Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Solemnly swear that you will support and defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic, that you will bear true faith and allegiance to the same, that you take this obligation freely without any mental reservation or purpose of evasion, and that you will well and faithfully discharge the duties of the office on which you are about to enter. So help you God.
I do, so help me God.
Congratulations, Mr. Chairman.
So that's all over, right? I mean, we're done. You know, 3 weeks of anguish and pain and late night comedy and recriminations and questions and, you know, was Matt Gaetz an idiot? Did he destroy the Republic or the Republican Party? And the answer is no. We have a speaker. Speaker solid. Got unanimous support from the Republicans. And now we can do business. See, here's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for the people who said that Matt Gaetz was a stupid dummy or some variation thereon. And I'm looking for them to be like, oh, well, this is better. I mean, you know, we had Kevin McCarthy that nobody really wanted except the institutionalists and, you know, the lobbyists. And now we've got a guy who's a conservative, an actual limited government advocate who understands the Constitution, believes in it, and looks for all the world based on, you know, the early read, like he's actually going to do some of the things that conservatives have been saying ought to be done in Congress for decades. You know, we might try to get spending under control. You know, we might actually, now look, I know an opening speech is only an opening speech, but, you know, he said the right things. To the degree you can do it right in your opening speech, he did it.
The greatest threat to our national security is our nation's debt. And while we've been sitting in this room, that's right, that the debt has crossed almost $33.6 trillion. And the time that it's going to take me to deliver this speech will go up another $20 million in debt. It's unsustainable. We have to get the country back on track. Now, we know this is not going to be an easy task, and tough decisions will have to be made. But the consequences, if we don't act now, are unbearable. We have a duty to the American people to explain this to them so they understand it well. And we are going to establish a bipartisan debt commission to begin working on this crisis immediately. Immediately.
Great. Will they get enough support from the Senate or the White House in order to do anything? I don't know, but again, to the degree that a speaker can do something, great. I do kind of wonder if there was anybody who was in the audience last night at the House watching this saying, all right, $20 million at this rate of interest means his speech is going to be 8 minutes long. Like they're doing the math. Probably not. Just me. I'm weird. But okay, so he says, you know, like I said, all the right notes. Okay, all the right notes, including, a beautiful story about his dad. This is kind of a cool thing. This is a little bit longer bit, but it's all right. He tells his dad was a firefighter, okay?
My dad was a firefighter. He was an assistant chief in the fire department in my hometown of Shreveport, Louisiana, a little town in northwest Louisiana. On September 17th, 1984, when I was 12 years old, he was critically burned and permanently disabled in the line of duty. All I ever wanted to be when I grew up was the chief of the fire department in Shreveport. But after the explosion on that fateful day, he nearly died, and it was a long road back, and it changed all of our life trajectories. I'm the oldest of four kids. And my dad, he lived with pain all the rest of his life, for decades more. And I lost my dad to cancer 3 days before I got elected to Congress. 3 days. And he wanted to be there at my election night so badly. I'm the first college graduate in my family. This was a big deal to him. And so several weeks after that, it was early 2017, it was my freshman term, and it fell to me to be in the rostrum one night to serve here as Speaker Pro Tem. I thought that was a big deal until I figured out that's what you do for freshmen late at night.
Yeah, so you think, oh, I got this special duty. Wait, it's 2 a.m. and I'm working in the chair in the chamber. That's not a good thing. But listen, he keeps going.
And I think if my memory serves, Miss Jackson Lee was winding down one of her long, eloquent speeches.
Just that line alone is worth the price of admission, because that is 100% accurate of Sheila Jackson Lee.
And not that I was not enraptured by her speech, but I looked up at the top and in the chamber there, and I saw the face of Moses staring down. And I just felt in that moment the weight of this place, right? The history that is revered here and the future that we are called to forge. And I really was just kind of almost overwhelmed with emotion. It occurred to me in that moment, it had been several weeks and I had not had an opportunity yet to grieve my dad's passing, and I just had this sense that somehow he knew. And I had tears come to my eyes, and I was standing here and I'm wiping them away, and then it suddenly occurs to me, the late night C-SPAN viewers are going to think something's very wrong with the new young congressman from Louisiana. It wasn't Sheila's speech. I'm sorry. I just knew in that moment that my dad, my father, would be proud of me, and I felt that he was.
I mean, whatever else you might think about him, I mean, this is a guy worth listening to. He's charming. He's funny. He's self-deprecating. He loves God. He loves the Constitution. And, you know, he seems, I couldn't have told you who Mike Johnson was a week ago. Okay. Again, I know the people I know in Congress, and I don't follow that nearly as closely as I follow Milton, Gulf Breeze, Pensacola, Scambia, and Santa Rosa County. You know that. And you can't follow everything. Okay. So you make choices. I probably know more members of the state legislature. I'm sure I know more members of the state legislature in Tallahassee than I do of the Congress. And the Senate's not the same, because the Senate, it's all the same people that have been there for 30 years and 50 years. So, you know, that's actually pretty easy to track. But still, seems like a great guy. Seems like he knows what he wants to do and, you know, has a philosophy about America that certainly I align with. And according to Matt Gaetz, who is kind of taking victory laps yesterday, and rightly so, taking victory laps yesterday. I didn't dwell an awful lot on this. I mostly just said, I don't know what's going to happen. But the one bit of analysis that I had given is, you know, I hope he wins. I hope we get a speaker who's better than Kevin McCarthy. I hope this doesn't turn out to be, you know, an exercise in futility. It looked pretty sketchy for a little bit there, like nobody was going to be able to get a majority. But I was hopeful that Matt had a strategy that was going to pay off, and I think it has. You know, we've got a speaker. We've got a speaker who I'm optimistic about. And the real question is, you know, are people who said that this would never work and people who said that Matt was a horrible destroyer of the Republican Party, you know, are they going to say, oh, my bad, you know, or...
And I want to thank you, Eric, because on some other conservative networks, right, maybe so-called conservative networks, they refused to even give the prospect of a change of the speakership any opportunity to enhance the interests of the American people. And you saw the vision to have a more conservative speaker, to have a more honest speaker. We have now delivered on that. We've got to get to our budgeting issues. We're going to pass our Israel support resolution. And we've got to get this border closed, all while dealing with a woke and weaponized government.
Yeah, and I mean, that's right. Most of the critics just thought that Matt was a crazy destroyer, anarchist, whatever, you know, radical super conservative, which I still, to this day, I'll tell you that, you know, though I think Matt's a conservative, there are some parts of his platform and ideology which I don't think are conservative, but that's, I mean, that doesn't make him wrong. It's just, you know, there's a traditional social conservative dimension to, you know, Republican and conservative politics that he doesn't exactly subscribe to, particularly when it comes to, you know, things like marijuana, for example, and that's fine. People can have their policy differences. But what he says is, look, the rules that we had in place still are in place. One person can move to vacate the speakership. I mean, it's not likely to happen. anytime soon. And, you know, given that he got unanimous support from Republicans in his first vote to actually have a vote, it seems unlikely to happen anytime soon. But that's still in place. And Matt did say that they'd be willing to maybe consider trading off on that power. You know, the power to remove McCarthy is the power to remove Johnson. That they might consider removing that if they would agree to a whole bunch of reforms that he has been advocating for a long time. And he says, it's not my first choice, but I'd be open to it.
Yes, right now the House rules are the same. And so presumably today, tomorrow, someone could move to vacate the speaker. Now, there are negotiations underway to raise that threshold. And I've said that if my colleagues want me to entertain that concept, I need other anti-corruption accountability measures in exchange for that. Those would include a ban on members of Congress from trading individual stocks, a ban on members of Congress becoming lobbyists, registered foreign agents, and banning lobbyists and political action committees from donating to federal campaigns. If I got those things, I would be negotiable to raise the motion to vacate.
But it's not his first choice. It's just he's saying, you know, if we could, you know, don't give up something for nothing, right? So anyway, you know, he's taking a victory lap, I think rightly so. Mike Johnson seems like potentially a great speaker there. Oh, he's got less experience than anybody else has ever been speaker. Okay. I mean, his first thing he said yesterday after saying he'd pass a bill, he'd file a bill on Israel to take care of them first, one of the most important things that he said right after, this is, you know, you get a speech, you accumulate a whole bunch of power all of a sudden, and your first real promise is...
I will conclude with this. The job of the Speaker of the House is to serve the whole body, and I will. But I've made a commitment to my colleagues here that this Speaker's office is going to be known for decentralizing the power here.
I just got a whole bunch of power. My first job is to get rid of it. I mean, to split power out to other people, to other structures within the House, to presumably committee chairs or what, I don't know. But as opposed to people who have dreamed and schemed their whole lives to become Speaker of the House, like Kevin McCarthy, only to then do their best to accumulate as much power as they can and use it for the purpose of having as much power as they can. You know, like, again, that's a very conservative thing to say is, here I've got power, and that concerns me because I don't think anybody should really have this kind of power. Let's just see if we can't share it a little bit in the people's house and get back to a system where more people have more opportunities to do things and we can have something that better represents the country. So, like I said, you know, I wouldn't have been able to pick him out of a lineup 2 weeks ago, even maybe today. I don't know. He's not the most spectacularly interesting-looking guy. But I'm very optimistic about this, so time will tell. But I do think one thing is clear. You have to give Matt Gaetz credit that though it took some time and caused a little bit of anxiety, he got somebody who is more conservative, less beholden to special interests, and more likely to do things in the House that the Republican, conservative, even dare I say the, you know, Trump wing of the party are going to support. And whatever else you might say, Trump is the primary spokesman of a massive part of the Republican Party right now, and so that's pretty important. 523 on News Radio 92.3 and Full Dependable, I'm Andrew McKay.
At Consumer Cellular, you get the same exact coverage as the largest carriers, but for up to half the cost. Same thing, up to half the cost. Up to half the cost for the same thing. 50% the money for 100% the same thing. I hope I'm making myself clear. Consumer Cellular. When freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
Half the cost savings based on cost of Consumer Cellular single line 5 GB data plan with unlimited talk and text compared to lowest cost single line postpaid unlimited talk, text, and data plan offered by T-Mobile and Verizon May 2023.
A psoriasis flare-up can make a walk in the park, well, no walk in the park.
It's that obvious, huh? I've tried so many lotions and creams, but I still have symptoms.
So those don't do enough to treat the inflammation beneath the skin, leaving you with those uncontrolled symptoms.
Makes sense, but what else can I do?
You can get real with your dermatologist so they can help you get clear. Make an appointment and, oh, you're already on it.
Hi, yes, I'd like to make an appointment.
Get real clear about psoriasis at letsgetrealclear.com. Sponsored by AbbVie.
Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 9 when guests from Pensacola State College will be on the show talking about Suit It Up, what it is, and how it benefits PSE students. Also up for discussion, CTE Month, what it is and its benefits, the Handshake Job Board, job fairs and internships, and so much more. Tomorrow at 9 to the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Dave Ramsey Show, weeknights at 7 after Pensacola right now with Joe and Gracie on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
All right, all right, all right, all right, all right. Timmy Lupus.
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 God, does that booger eating spaz make me want to puke?
Have you gone back and watched, like, the Bad News Bears in the last 20 years? It'll make you cringe a lot. it's interesting to look back at a movie like that and think, oh, this is charming. Look, it's child abuse and alcoholism and a lot of other things, but there it is. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
That's new for all of us.
Well, good morning. Headlines this morning are being dominated by this mass shooting in Maine.
Yeah.
Terrible story here. Manhunt still underway for the mass shooter. They're saying he's Robert Card is the man's name. They're saying he's considered armed and dangerous. Hundreds of police officers still searching for him. He's suspected of going on a deadly rampage last night. This was in Lewiston. And the latest report I'm seeing from Fox News says at least 22 people are dead. And I believe I've read somewhere else there were like maybe 50 people that were hurt.
Yeah, I've heard varying numbers. The early report last night was 22, but then NBC this morning was saying 15 to 20. So I think there's some uncertainty about just how many, but obviously it's a horrible incident.
Right.
I'd read originally three scenes. It now sounds like maybe it was at two locations, and that a stampede of people fleeing the gunfire was one of the ways people got injured. So,
right. And then I believe I read that his vehicle was found abandoned at a boat ramp somewhere. So that may have been the third scene that was being referenced.
I gotcha. Okay.
But, you know, these types of situations, we always see this. Reports at the beginning of this are always just all over the place. So we'll see what shapes up with this over the day. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says Israel is still preparing for that ground invasion in Gaza. Netanyahu made that statement in a speech yesterday. He said he would not elaborate about when or how many for that invasion, and about 360,000 Israeli reservists are currently on the Gaza border.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions about why are they waiting? You know, what are they waiting for? And I think, you know, various theories about this. You know, one is, well, as you well know from Iraq, you know, you have aerial bombardment for a little bit before you do anything, right? You soften up the enemy. You take out their military targets so that they can't fight back against you when you roll in with troops and tanks. Another theory is that, 360,000 sounds like an impressive number until you realize most of them are reservists. Sitting at home, you know, gardening and teaching and trying to sell people cars, and now all of a sudden they're on the border of Gaza with a gun they haven't seen in ever, you know, like that kind of thing. So, but they did, Israel did have a brief incursion into Gaza, overnight. They rolled in, some tanks. It looked like about a half dozen tanks and bulldozed the wall and entered and left just as quickly. I mean, it was kind of an in and out, sort of strike. We're not really quite sure what they did, but you know, so there's been a brief start to the ground offensive, but you know, like you say, nothing major, nothing serious
yet. But then they also still have how many hundreds of hostages,
right?
That they're, you know, that's got to be part of their considerations as well.
And by the way, this is worth noting. President Biden said something yesterday that he did an interview with. Well, not an interview, but NPR asked him like a forum, asked him about, like, the number of people killed, you know, 1,400 on the Israeli side, 6,000 on the Hamas, on the Palestinian side. And he said, well, how do you know? Who's telling you that 6,000 people have died in Gaza? Hamas? That's who we're going to trust for our numbers? And it's a great point. We have no idea how many people, how many civilians, how many kids. We literally have no idea, because the only people who have been saying so are the people who we know lie and do all kinds of horrible things. So it's kind of a good point about any bit of information about what's happening in Gaza, put it in brackets until we get confirmation.
Right. Information is also a huge part of warfare.
It absolutely is, because the PR war is huge in this case. Yes. And I kind of interrupted you. Go ahead. What was your last story?
Oh, and this one, not quite as important, but negotiations between striking Hollywood actors and the big studios have been pushed back. Of course, they were supposed to begin negotiating again yesterday, but the union tells management that they need more time to respond. So we'll see what happens with that.
All right, very good. David, thanks so much for the update. 5:30 on News Radio 92.3. You also, by the way, Florida, I guess yesterday, the colleges banned the Students for Justice in Palestine from all college campuses in Florida. This is a group that they say was giving support to Hamas. I'm not sure whether the allegation here is actual material support or just sort of ideological support. And I've expressed concerns about the way we hamper people's free speech. But certainly if there was any kind of actual material support, I would support that. If it's just speech, well, I have questions.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Chris Foster. There are reports of at least 22 people killed, dozens injured in shootings in Lewiston, Maine. Hundreds of law enforcement officers are looking for a man described as a person of interest.
Robert Arcard had been committed to a mental health facility for 2 weeks this past summer after he complained of hearing voices and threats. Card is 40 years old. The shootings occurred at a bar and at a bowling alley.
Fox's Evan Brown, Maine Department of Public Safety Commissioner Mike Soschuk.
The shelter-in-place order that currently stands in Lewiston remains. A vehicle, which was a vehicle of interest in this incident, was located in Lisbon, and we are now also asking residents in Lisbon to shelter in place.
That's about 8 miles away. Carr's described in a law enforcement bulletin as a firearms instructor believed to be in the Army Reserve. Local schools and colleges are closed today. The shooting locations are about 4 miles apart. The FBI says it's working with state and local law enforcement. This is a Fox News alert.
Good morning, 5:31, News Radio 92.3. We've got 67 degrees, partly cloudy skies this morning in Pensacola. Gulf Breeze, city leaders are hoping to secure all of the funding needed to get the planned Highway 98 overpass project done. After securing $2.35 million during the last legislative session, Mayor Cherry Fitch is looking for additional support this go-around as well.
Come through Gulf Breeze in the morning or the afternoon on a school day, you will see crowds of students who are crossing the street. Some are talking and just having fun. Some are talking on their phone or reading on the phone. Others are just trying to beat the light to get across.
That overpass would cross at Shoreline Drive from Gulf Breeze High School to the Publix and Seashell Shopping Center in that area. The Pensacola Fire Department and Florida Department of Health are teaming up to educate parents and their families about car seats. They've got a car seat rodeo going on Saturday from 9 to 1 at the fire station on Strong Street at the event. Professional car seat technicians will be on hand to show people the proper installation methods for those. Florida now ordering state universities to disband local chapters of a national pro-Palestine organization.
State University System Chancellor Ray Rodriguez wrote a letter to school leaders saying the Florida chapters of National Students for Justice in Palestine must be deactivated. Rodriguez says the organization violates state law by providing support to terrorist groups. While not naming them specifically, Rodriguez says at least two universities have local chapters. The chapter at USF posted on Instagram that it was one of those affected.
And that is News Radio's Joe Ford. A suspect has been accused of killing a pregnant teen in Houston County. Earlier this year, Marquise McLeod, indicted by a grand jury for a murder earlier this month in the death of 19-year-old Anastasia Gilley. She'd been pregnant for 4 months when her body was found in a field in May. The district attorney says he is seeking the death penalty in that case. The officials over at Warrington Prep Academy say seventh graders there still on modified schedules, but they have been seeing positive results.
It's been very successful. Last week, I had no discipline issues in the seventh grade hallway, and this week, no discipline.
And that is Principal Dr. Erica Foster. She says, it was heartbreaking to hear a parent describe the schedule as being similar to a prison, and says that that modified schedule is similar to their elementary school model. 5:34 at News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather.
A beautiful day today with mostly sunny skies, breezy conditions, high near 79. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 65 degrees. Sunshine continues for your Friday with a high near 82. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 64. We're going to have our nice weather pattern through the weekend with sunny skies Saturday and Sunday with temperatures in the low 80s. Stay connected to the Channel 3 News First Warning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV weather app. This is Brooke Richardson. Peterson from the First Warning Weather Center.
67 right now in Pensacola, 69 in Gulf Breeze, and 64 in Milton. Your next news at 6. Breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
Start your mornings with Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9. Followed by the Pensacola Expert Panel, or Pep Talk. Then, join the national news conversation with Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins at 11. Fox News Guy Benson takes over at 2. And join Gracie wrap up your workday from 4 till 7. And then, Dave Ramsey takes over. On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Some folks like to drive alone. Some take their best friend, while others ride with their growing family. But no matter how many passengers you may have, there's a Volkswagen that'll fit you from Piedmore Imports. The all-new 2024 Jetta Sport. A sleek, compact sedan now from $24,385. The 2023 Taos S, a sporty crossover with a new lower price of $25,199. The 23 Tiguan S has a third row and now from $29,146. And the family-sized SUV that seats seven for everyone's comfort, the 2024 Atlas SE, now at Feedmore Imports from $39,421, plus the VW ID4 EV. The all-electric SUV with plenty of space and features is now from $35,332 at Feedmore Imports. They're not in Car City, so you won't pay Car City prices. Feedmore Imports, 106 New Warrington Road.
Sale prices before tag, tax, title, and dealer fees. Discount on the new ID4 EV includes $7,500 lease rebate. See dealer for details.
Mom, can we have some ice cream?
I've got a better idea. Who wants to help me make something fun and healthy instead?
Me! Eating smarter is easy and delicious. Interested in receiving healthy recipes and a whole lot more in your email? Then register at healthiestweightfl.com and learn more about all the small steps that you can take on the way to living healthy. This message is sponsored by the Ounce of Prevention Fund of Florida, the Florida Department of Health, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Hi, this is Todd Thompson, President and CEO of the Greater Pensacola Chamber of Commerce. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel for the Chamber Connection Show that will keep you informed on what's going on with your Chamber of Commerce. Tune in this Monday morning at 10 to find out about our upcoming events, all of our different programs, and what's happening with our local business community. It's the Chamber Connection Show every other Monday at 10 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk, 9 to 11, before Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins, on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Good morning, 538, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Yesterday, there were two topics in the show, aside from other smaller things, but the two big topics were the red light cameras proposed by Mayor D.C. Reeves, the pilot program, and parking changes. And so, when we had the mayor on, we talked a lot about parking changes. Welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, D.C. Appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. No, anytime.
Hold on just a second. We'll get back to the beginning of the interview here in just a second.
Thanks so much for having me. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, what are we going to talk about today? I mean, it's like we got nothing.
So, well, I drank a raw egg. I did 10 push-ups. You know, I'm ready to go.
All right. So as in case people are just joining the conversation, let's talk about parking first. The set of proposals is essentially this. You want to get a new app. Because it'll allow greater capability to do the things that we need to do to change parking downtown. You get that that's a problem for people to change over, but it will be better in the long run. You want to expand the zone where you have paid parking from Spring over to Alkanes and including Palafox, where you're going to get rid of the two-hour free parking and all the way down to Plaza de Luna. You want to extend the hours of parking from till 7 o'clock until midnight. And you want to make the price higher from 50 cents an hour by ordinance right now up to a dollar. And then you want to make that price variable down to 25 cents in low demand areas, as high as maybe $2. I don't think you set an upper limit, but I think that's kind of the vicinity you're talking about under high demand times. Am I summarizing accurately?
Yes and no. First of all, those are the recommendations that have been brought to me. So that it is not with finality that those are all the things that we're going to do. And I would give you the biggest example is we haven't gone street by street with the new expanded zones and said, these are going to be free. These are going to be, these are Phil's recommendations. That is what you've just described. And those, and in that case, yes, are very accurate. And that's what is under consideration now.
Okay. Impressed with him. The report was very good and he was a very impressive guy. So good. I think a good hire and a good report for sure.
Yeah. So let me do a couple things. I think just let me give a little lay of the land. The Hof Center sent DIB a study recently in the last couple months. You heard me mention this probably on Monday. 2020, we had 5.6 million transactions downtown. And you'll have to ask Hof Center how they met, whether that's credit card, cell phone, I know is part of it. 5.6 million transactions happened downtown in 2020, COVID year. 2021, 6.9 million. In the last 12 months, 8.3. So unless Andrew McKay gets on the radio and starts talking about bed bugs or that all the hotel rooms are haunted, we are where we are. And so I totally respect the argument of, I walk down there to Buccaneer Trading Shop with my grandfather every Saturday, didn't see a soul. And I get people emailing me saying, well, man, it used to be free. Yeah, well, people used to not come down here, which means we didn't have the infrastructure impending costs that are coming to us and trying to keep up with what is our economic driver. Our resident satisfaction survey, as an example, we asked the question, do you believe downtown is the economic driver of the city, or do you think it gets too much attention? And two-thirds of our residents agree, somewhere in there, it's in the mid-60s or high-60s, that say, no, it's our economic driver. So it's not just the geography, pro rata to our city. There's a lot of things that happen down there, which means we've got to take care of it. And it means that we have impending costs. And so those are just some realities, number one. And the last on this opening diatribe would be that understand if we adopted every change in this policy, the vast, 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 vast majority of city parking spaces are free. What we're discussing here is that 10 years ago, you could park in front of the jewelry shop or the restaurant right in front and it was free. So I always like to make sure that we're talking about the same thing. We're not. Because when we start talking about paid parking, what enters people's minds is that all of the parking is going to be paid. The vast majority of our spaces would still be free. It just may not be the one that's right in front of your dinner reservation at 7 p.m. That and so I just want to make sure we're talking about the same thing.
Absolutely. No, I understand.
Get those exact numbers for you.
So here's the way I look at it, and I know there are some texters who agree with your proposal. I would say that we're about an 80-20 split, and about the 80% are saying, I won't go downtown. I'm already sick of downtown. Parking downtown is a nightmare. Right. It's a mess. I hate to pay to park. I would always prefer free. And my sort of twist on that is when we moved here 9 years ago, one of the things I loved about Pensacola is that it's a small town feel. It's an inviting, welcome to my home kind of feel. And when we went to the beach, we're familiar with California beaches where you pay for everything and you can't even find parking. It's horrible. I found the beach and, Casino Beach, free parking. Oh, my God, this is amazing. Downtown, downtown thriving, bustling, whether it's parades or food or walking around or whatever the case is, it's free parking. And, I don't always even bother go to look on Palafox because I know other places that I can go to find free parking, like on Main Street is my favorite now.
Right.
And I go park there for free fun. It pissed me off when you went from, 5 o'clock to 7 o'clock. It pissed me off when you closed, not you, but, when the city closed the lot like UWF, annexed the back of the TT Wentworth, the housing, when Studerville came in, that's not the call, but, when that came in, we got lost a lot of parking spaces on Jefferson. Every time it's irritating, and just when I think I finally found, okay, here's my place where I can go, then you take that away or you make me want to pay. I hate to pay to park, period. And I know a lot of people are like that. I don't pay when I go to Walmart. I don't pay when I go to other restaurants. I don't pay when I go to the park. Why do I have to pay to visit my city?
So here's number one. There's 25% of people out of the 5,100 said the same thing. We said, what would you pay for a perfect parking experience? And the answer is nothing. How can I argue with that? I mean, and I'll give a little insight as mayor. I haven't been mayor long. But anything that I propose that costs more than it does before, believe it or not, it's probably 80-20. I don't have a whole lot of wild endorsements when we have to make adult decisions about where we're going, as a city. And I really ask this question when people have asked me, well, why should it be free? And I want to talk about income disparity because that got brought up too. But why shouldn't it be free? Well, the first question I always ask is, do you believe that the city of Pensacola, not just with me as mayor, but in the years to come with 8.3 million transactions and quickly rising, that we have this, we can count on the infrastructure costs of which to keep up with that. And I've never had anybody say yes, that we clearly do have that. And I would tell you that we don't. So then what we're doing is we're going to, when it's time for some kind of tax increase to cover that or some other revenue stream to cover that, and everyone's already used it, that you want to talk about income disparity? Income disparity is we're making people who are not even using downtown with any frequency now saddle with the expense. So this is, in essence, a user fee. If you're down there 5 nights a week paying 50 cents an hour, then you're helping keep it up. Or if the biggest complaint, by the way, was not cost, was availability of parking spaces, then you're helping us build structured parking. We don't have money sitting around to build structured parking if that turns out that that's what we need. So I totally get that the missing linchpin, and you've heard me say this, in all of this, is what are we going to do with the money? And that's been the biggest miss of our city and how cities don't do it right. Is they'd say, well, it's not just we're coming to take a dollar instead of 50 cents. The idea is that it improves the experience of the things you just said. I want it to be easier. I want it to be simple. I want to be able to know I can go somewhere and get a spot. Those types of things will never happen. And the way analogy I'll be using with this really is to say, hey, if we were to use the cliche of fine-tuning an instrument, we don't even know what the instrument is. What we have right now cannot help us measure anything, whether we need more spaces, whether we need more structure. We just don't know that because we don't have any data that helps support. We do not encourage turnover in these spaces.
Mr. Mayor, I agree with you about that, and I agree with you certainly about the approach of study at first in order to figure out the recommendations. I appreciate that. Two thoughts, okay? I don't buy the, you're charging Granny right now, and that's not fair, because I think what you're going to do is you're going to maybe cut her property tax bill by 10 cents, and you're going to make her not go to downtown because she won't be able to afford it anymore. So I don't buy that argument exactly. I know from experience that when I go to other cities where they charge a lot for parking, I come away thinking, well, you know, other things that I did there were fun, but man, it leaves an awful taste in my mouth. I just don't want to go there again. And that's what I fear we're going to turn downtown into, for not just visitors who might expect to pay and don't have an expectation of free, but for the locals who are really having frustrations with this. And the last thing, and I'll let you respond, of course, this argument of creating turnover is predicated on the idea that you can price people out of parking in the core, and the price-sensitive people, the cheap people, the poor people, the people who don't want to pay for parking, people like me, okay? I'm not necessarily poor, but don't want to pay for parking. You're going to price us away from the core and go park somewhere else. Otherwise, it doesn't work. The model doesn't work unless you can disincentivize us out of the core. And so it really winds up being a reward to the people who can pay with a privilege and discourage the people who can't or don't want to pay with a punishment.
That is foundationally built on a misnomer. And what, yes, turnover is the goal. But what we're talking about, and I speak from experience, I had 50 employees that are in the heart of this district that have parked at the parking garage for years and years when I own a business downtown. Let me tell you what happens. A busboy at a restaurant on Palafox parks at 6:59 p.m. on Palafox Street and leaves at 2 in the morning. So when you and your example, you mentioned, hey, oh, if they beat me there, well, then you better get to your show 3 hours early because there's no turn on that space. And by the way, no revenue either.
Fair. Fair point. I agree. The employee problem is a problem.
So I have businesses coming to me right now saying, well, what are we going to do? You know, there's not access to these spaces. 2 hour is the worst of all worlds, because what happens is the employee gets out, goes to lunch, comes back and parks in a 2 hour space. So our congestion, the number one complaint was, you said it, 41% of people said, I can't find spaces at night in downtown. Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? It's because people have been there for hours at a time. So turnover is the mechanism of which to create availability. It's not a mechanism of which to create immense revenue. And that's so you're working off the presumption that people were paying 50 cents happily, and then now they're going to go to a dollar and that's going to price them out. No, what we're saying is we will never rid ourselves of congestion. What we all complain about, number one complaint, finding spaces. We will never rid ourselves of that until we have the ability to not have all of these 2 hour free spaces that are be taken up by employees, by people who are not moving. So what I hope is you come downtown, you have dinner at 6 o'clock, it costs you $2, and then you leave at 8, and then someone else comes at 8 to 10 o'clock, and then now availability rises just as much as revenue rises. And so that's, I get what you're saying, but my point is turnover, if we will never relieve the congestion issue. 30% of our traffic downtown, nationwide, 30% of traffic is people circling around finding for spaces, looking for spaces. So, you know, that's why I say we are not even fine tuning an instrument. We don't even know what the instrument is. And what I believe is wherever we go from here, which app would be first, by the way, before we do any policy changes, we would get the best app in the world, highest rated app in the world in parking. And that would start maybe in January. But yeah, I mean, that we've got to get turnover in order or we'll never rid ourselves from this complaint about congestion. I mean, just there's no other way to fix it.
So I actually agree with some of that. Obviously the employee part, and I think changing the app probably makes sense. You know, for a variety of reasons. My general fear, and I know, you know, just to make sure that you're clear, and I think the fear that a lot of other people have is, yep. Palafox was a wasteland before. It has become a beautiful thing, and now we're turning into a beautiful thing for the people who can afford it, and that just irritates me, and it discourages me from wanting to go downtown and like a lot of other people. Putting parking aside, which I know is a much longer conversation, is likely to be a very big city council meeting when you ask for some of these changes. Red light cameras, though we have no time to talk about it today, you and I are completely on the same page. I love this idea. I look forward to the pilot program. I look forward to full implementation. If we can make Pensacola as safe as Gulf Breeze, I think that's a win for everybody, including law enforcement and the citizens who are protected. We're going to start recycling on Saturday at the drop-off location, and we'll get to talking about CareerSource Florida, your appointment to the board of directors, next week. Let's have some fun, the lightning round. And by the way, I love a good debate, so I really appreciate the conversation. I think a lot of other people
of
do
course.
As well. Our quick lightning round here for Mayor, if I can get my page to pull up here. There we go. Is there a bad smell that you love?
not off the top of my head.
Okay.
I think it would be...
things like asphalt and gasoline and skunk and, you know... those kind of things. Is there one of those that cigarette maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, fresh asphalt in the parking space. Is that what you're saying? yeah. That's,
you like that? Okay, fair enough.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does DC Reeves wear socks to bed?
No.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's too
good.
Yeah,
man.
Too much
and,
going on.
And this might be the make or break moment for you as a person, a mayor, and as a friend. When you go to the restaurant and they bring you your food, do you wait to taste it before you add seasoning, or do you season it before you taste it?
I go all in. I mean, I trust my judgment. I just go ahead and do it.
You
I
put
mean,
it I, on before you taste it?
What do you do?
Oh, no, you got to wait.
Yeah,
you got to trust the
do.
Chef, man. So close.
Man, look, you got to take chances.
Mayor DC Reeves, again, I look forward to more conversations about this and certainly at City Council. But as always, thank you for the time. Thank you for the good engagement this morning, man. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, of course. No, anytime.
Absolutely. 5:52 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Hi, I'm Billy Anderson with Anderson Subaru in Pensacola. From our spectacular beaches to the miles of rivers and unspoiled forests, the Gulf Coast offers some of the best family adventure around. And the Subaru Crosstrek and Subaru Forester are the perfect family vehicles to explore every dune and unpaved trail in Northwest Florida. Both come standard with sure-footed symmetrical all-wheel drive to take you deep into the wild places you love. The Crosstrek is powered by 182 horsepower Subaru boxer engine that adds plenty of go to any adventure. And the Forester boasts 9.2 inches of ground clearance to get you through every wilderness challenge. There's more than enough room for your gear and plenty of options to make the Crosstrek or Forester fit your lifestyle. In a Subaru, the destination is the journey. So grab the kids and the dog and follow your own path to adventure. Love is out there at Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Carr City, Pensacola. Online at AndersonSubaru.com.
Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Get ready to be a part of the art at Singing in the Street as the Pensacola Children's Chorus and the Choral Society of Pensacola put the spotlight on you, the community. Join the celebration during the 10th anniversary of Foo Foo Fest and perform a medley of beloved songs from Broadway classics to your Disney favorites. Best of all, it's free to attend. Bring your family and friends and a chair if you'd like to sit and create music, memories, and magic together. That's Thursday, November 2nd at 6 p.m. on the steps of the Pensacola Museum of History. See you there!
Hey, Kevin, how's the boat running?
Well, you know, last week I started working on the water pump, and now I can't remember how it goes back together.
Dude, stop. Call Key Marine. They'll get you and your Mercury outboard back in the water so we can go back to fishing again.
Key Marine gets the work done and lets you handle the fun. They'll fix any problem, big or small, even if the problem is you don't remember how the parts go back together. Key Marine, your Mercury outboard dealer on Bower Road in Pensacola.
Fall is a great time of the year for gardening, whether it's fertilizing the lawn, pruning, planting shrubs, cool weather color, and of course, winter vegetables. This is Mike Wiggins. If you've got gardening questions, we've got the answers on the News Radio Garden Line. Every Tuesday morning at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel. And if you miss us on Tuesday, then catch the Encore Edition every Saturday morning at 9.
Sponsored by Pensacola Hardware, Blue Sky Landscaping, and Barnes Feed Store.
Hi, I'm Mansfield Coe from Pensacola Hardware. We are your best local and regional resource for industrial construction and hardware supplies. Daily, we meet the needs of Pensacola's construction companies, providing superb knowledge and code-compliant products. We specialize in concrete and masonry tools, fall protection products, and tools and supplies for the HVAC, mechanical, plumbing, electrical, and glass trades. Give us the opportunity to show you why we are Pensacola's oldest and best hardware and construction supply company. Pensacola Hardware, 20 East Gregory Street, downtown.
More news, more talk with Markley Van Kevin Robbins on at 11, right after the Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Someday we might look back on this and decide that Saving Private Ryan was the one decent thing we were able to pull out of this whole god-awful mess.
Telling you, if you have not listened to the Songs of Surrender release from YouTube, it's just it's amazing stuff. It really is. It's what they did is they took all of their songs and they reworked them like small venue acoustic style. So songs you know done in an incredibly different way. Now, Jake, you're a musician. I know, I'm sure you appreciate that effort. That just
I do.
You know, by the original artists, not a you know, they're covering themselves,
right?
And you know, rearranging, readapting themselves.
You can find millions of covers by whoever on YouTube or other sites, but having the actual band go in and retool it so well,
yeah.
I mean, they did such a good job on those arrangements. Yeah.
5:58 on News Radio 92.3. By the way, that cut from Saving Private Ryan with Adam Goldberg cracks me up because his range, he's everything from, you know, the great role he played in Saving Private Ryan to the weird geeky dude in Dazed and Confused, if you remember, like, there's a range there. I love him as an actor. David Wayne's in the newsroom this morning with our headlines. David?
Well, seeing some reaction to the deadly shooting in Maine, former New York Fire Chief Terry Monahan says it doesn't look like a hate crime.
Looking at this suspect's social media, it looks like this may just be a mental health issue.
Governor Kathy Hochul, of course, says her heart breaks for the people of Lewiston, and New York City Mayor Eric Adams posted on X saying thousands of lives have been changed forever. Congressman George Santos due back in court again today. He'll be arraigned in a courtroom on charges of falsifying records, identity theft, and conspiracy against the United States.
We got his vote for Speaker of the House. Now we're done. We do not need you anymore, sir. We can move on. Oh, man. It really does raise the issue of what's the value of this categorization of things as hate crimes or not. You know, because when you can kill 15 or 20 people and that's not a hate crime, it sort of makes you wonder, well, what is the real purpose of that designation, really?
You're listening to News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.